right. If you can believe it, it's already that time again. For the Blue Falcon Podcast, this is officially episode 4 of the Blue Falcon Podcast, which makes it a new hope of Blue Falcon Podcasts. I am Brad, and this is...
I'm Adam. How you doing?
We make up the Blue Falcon Pit Crew, bringing forward a lot of good news and info for you. And we've got a lot on the table today, a lot of news, a lot of our Pit Crew picks, of course, a lot of shop talk, and some exciting new stuff just from us as well. We got a website we're going to tell you about. We'll have the details at the end of the show. So if you want to skip ahead to any particular part, I will have the different segments timestamped in the text description of the episode. So we like to start every episode with a question that we left you with at the end of the last episode. So the last episode we ended with, what games are you the most excited for E3? And what kind of stuff did we get?
Well, it really spanned the whole spectrum of everything we're expecting to see at E3 that we know about so far. And like one of the big ones was Fallout 4. That's not officially confirmed, but according to a pretty reliable source, they're saying that Bethesda is going to show it off at the end of their presser, which they actually have this year. And then we also got, you know, everybody pitching in stuff from, the whole Microsoft conference, the whole Sony conference, you know, whatever Nintendo shows off. And, you know,
we asked for a game. Don't cheat.
Right. I know. So obviously, you know, we heard some Halo and Uncharted and not Zelda.
No.
Sorry. No. It's not going to be there. Maybe Star Fox, though.
Yeah. We better get Star Fox. Yeah. But what was your pick for that?
Mine, I have to agree with everybody that said Halo 5 Guardians. That looks just, it's going to be so good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy one to get excited about. I think due to some, you know, some other circumstances with Zelda, you know, getting canned. And well, not canned, but I mean, as far as the E3 coverage of it, it's
right,
canned.
Yep.
And, you know, Battlefront 3 kind of getting neutered. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I'm going to go with Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I think...
Phantom Pain.
Yeah, of course. And I think that one's going to end up being a really solid game. And they say it's the last one. It's probably not, but...
Right.
Hopefully it's at least a good send-off. So, that being said, we're going to ask you another question at the end, and we'll hit you up with the Facebook, email, and Twitter means of contacting us to answer that question. Make sure that you get a hold of us on all of that and let us know, because we really like reading the responses. That being said, we're going to move forward to the next segment, which is the news. So we like to break this up by major console or major console company. So what was big from Nintendo since the last time we talked to all these folks?
There's a few things, not as much as last month.
Yeah,
with that huge direct and the delay news and all that. But there was some pretty significant stuff. There's a hacker, I guess, that found out how to hack the 3DS so that it's not region locked anymore. That's kind of neat. I don't know how safe that is, or you know, if you want to take the chance to do it, but. If you do, go for it. You can, you know, make it region free.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'll tell you that much.
I wouldn't recommend it, but, you know, if that's an obstacle for you, then, hey, you know, look it up. Look up how to do it, whatever.
Yeah, we won't promote it.
Right. but, yeah, other big news for them. Unity, the game development tool.
Of course.
Will now be supporting the new 3DS. So that's cool. That's good news for anybody that wants to push to that platform.
Yeah, and big. I mean, we're both big into Unity. You more than me, but I mean, that's the one I like to use.
Right. Yep. And a couple other things. They had a Splatoon Direct. Just a couple days ago.
It was yesterday, wasn't it?
That's also actually it was. I think you're right. Yep, that was yesterday. I didn't actually get to watch it, but I did see some of the news coming out of it. They're doing a public test fire, they're calling it. It's basically just a server load test.
You know, right.
Get everybody on and get them playing at the same time and see if they can handle it. That is tonight and tomorrow. So by the time this actually releases, it'll be over. But hey, if you got to participate, let us know what you thought. I might get into it tomorrow. We'll see if I can squeeze it in.
Yeah, and if any of you did participate in that, please comment and let us know how it was, because we didn't get the chance to play it yet, and I'm still really looking for impressions on that game.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're saying that that Nintendo might actually be courting like an esports audience with that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Creating their own sport.
Yeah. I mean, Call of Duty, League of Legends, they've done
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, it's just another, even Melee is still played as like the premier Smash Brothers game.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, that could be cool if it really takes off. It's kind of a really unique concept.
Yeah, then the only other thing I have for Nintendo, and I just saw this yesterday, I think. According to a like report where they were talking about financials, because by the way, Nintendo finally made a profit again.
Yes, I saw that the first time since, what, 2011?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years, and they finally made a profit, and you got to know that that's coming from their DLC and their Amiibo sales, and it's not exactly the Wii U itself, but it's support.
And all the toys you have to get.
And the deal that they made with Dina for mobile and, you know, all that helped them. But yeah, they finally turned the corner there, so they're profitable again.
Until their next console comes out.
we'll see. But basically, in this report they were talking about, they kind of hinted, well, I mean, we already knew that more Smash Bros. DLC was coming, because Lucas is next month, and then, you know, there's going to be more after that. And actually, interesting segue there is that somebody unencrypted or decrypted the 3DS files, and they found sound files for both Ryu from Street Fighter and Roy from Fire Emblem, like from Melee.
There's already a Roy in the game, but
This would be another. There's a very good chance that both of those characters are coming in, and some people were kind of like, oh, why are they having the open poll if they've already, you know, determined which characters they're putting in? But it's like, listen, no, shut up.
Yep.
They haven't, like, that the poll, if you voted for those characters, then you're getting what you want, so who cares? And if you're not voting for them, the polls don't close until October. Like, none of those characters are going to come out for any time soon. And obviously, in between there, they are going to be adding more. So, yes, some of them have been decided on already. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it doesn't mean all of them have.
Right.
Just because they're putting out characters now that they've already wanted in there doesn't mean that they're taking away the votes or
exactly, because
like
they've shown that they are willing to expand the roster to whatever number it takes. And but more interesting than that is that they also mentioned more DLC for Mario Kart as a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mario Kart 8, that is already one of the best, I'd say, Mario Kart games. But it is lacking key elements like a real battle mode with real battle arenas.
Yeah, it was way different this time around.
If they push another update out that has the like an updated battle mode, then they've done it. It's by far the best Mario Kart game they've ever made. Oh yeah, for sure.
What would you say it's in competition with right now?
People were crucifying me for not saying Mario Kart 64. I think Mario Kart 64 is probably number two for me, but Double Dash takes the cake in my book.
The GameCube.
That was so fun. And they actually have talked about potentially adding that mode also.
I've always thought that that would be cool to keep in as a mode. Like, you don't have to make it the main. I'm sure it's pretty hard to implement, maybe.
It would be tricky, but yeah. Doable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did just release the free update, which included the 200cc mode, which played. It is every bit as insane as everybody says it is.
We'll have to pop that in as soon as we're done recording here, because I haven't done it yet.
It's crazy. And like the new tracks that came out in the DLC 2-pack are all really good. Some of them are really frustrating. But it's another solid piece of DLC from Nintendo. So like I know it took them forever to get to a point where they were doing DLC, mm-hmm. but now that they finally are, at least they're doing it right.
Yeah. And I think eventually we should have the discussion about DLC, because a lot of people, you know, obviously it's really good for Nintendo to have this DLC, but then a lot of people are saying, oh, well, everybody hates DLC unless Nintendo does it now. So,
yeah, they may have a valid argument.
Yeah.
Because of, I mean, there is like this stigma now around DLC.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting on a tangent here.
Yeah, Nintendo avoided it for the longest time. And said that meant it was an incomplete game.
Well, because you had things like studios that were blatantly caught holding content back from a finished game to sell later. Like, yeah. That's just
stuff that's already on the disc.
Yeah.
That you have just have to
pay to unlock mm-hmm. it. Yeah, like, come on, really? But then, yeah, Nintendo, yeah. to me, Nintendo is doing it right. Mewtwo also came out within the last month.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
So yeah, he's really cool. Like, you almost can't tell the difference between his Melee version. The one thing, though, that I did notice that is different, besides the fact that his over B will actually reflect, is that in Melee, if your like dash attack with a weapon would spin it around in front of him, which was really cool, that doesn't happen anymore. So that's kind of a bummer. But like, everything else is the same. Like, all his throws are awesome. He still shoots like the purple psychic orbs or whatever when he throws mm-hmm. people forward. That's really cool. Yeah, he's a really, really strong addition, I think.
Yeah, I've played around with him and I really like it. I like him more than I liked him in Melee. So. Mm-hmm.
And I definitely like him better than Lucario.
Yeah, I never liked
sorry.
Him.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
I know
sorry.
There's some fourth generation Pokemon people who don't like that statement, but.
Oh, well.
Whatever.
Sue us.
Yep. We'll file a grievance with our email system.
Right. Which we do have a new email address. I will give that out at the end, too, also.
Yeah, we'll hit all the contact info at the end. So, moving on from Nintendo into Microsoft, what's new in Xbox world?
Not a whole lot since last month. I mean, although Quantum Break, anybody who's looking forward to that also got delayed. And it literally got delayed the day after we recorded our April podcast. Like, we would have had a delay for every major console if we'd have waited one day.
Yeah. And that, I guess that's the benefit of doing, like, a weekly podcast.
Right.
But, I mean, this is a monthly show. So, usually, as soon as we're done recording, there's a bunch of stuff that happens. And it's like,
I wish I could have fit that in there. Yeah. So, Quantum Break, if you are, you know, if that is one of the things you're waiting on, sorry. You're going to have to wait longer. But it does look good. But then, yeah, the only other really big things from Microsoft this month was, like, they did have their build conference, which is, it's more of a, you know, developer-oriented conference, not specifically games, but they did show off some neat stuff with HoloLens and, like, how you can do interactive UI and how you can use it for gaming. So that's going to be really cool. They showed a lot of Windows 10 stuff, which obviously will have a huge impact on gaming because you're getting DirectX 12, you're getting the Xbox app. You'll be able to stream Xbox games to your PC, eventually probably vice versa. So a lot of neat stuff coming out of there. The only other thing that I have for Microsoft is that they did reveal the Halo 5 box art, which you should go look up. It looks really neat because they have Agent Locke. I don't know if you've seen both of the trailers, but they have like Locke hunting Chief, and then they have Chief hunting Locke. Like they're opposed to each other. The box art kind of carries that theme forwards. So you have Locke's helmet on one side facing Chief's helmet on the other side, but then like in their chest armor, there are fire teams of Spartans, except Chief's fire team is in Locke's chest and Locke's fire team is in Chief's chest. And that's interesting because now we're seeing more pieces that we didn't have before where it's like, oh, so maybe the co-op you'll have, or, you know, even just in the regular gameplay, you'll have a fire team with you at all times. And it's actually these two fire teams that are coming together that will be facing off against each other somehow. Like, we still don't know. They're hinting at something different for the campaign. Like, which side do you play? Do you get to pick? How do they come together? They obviously can't kill each other. You know, so we'll see, but it's very teasing right now.
Yeah, if that's how they do it, like where you can play it through once through is like Master Chief's mode and once through Locke's mode. Yep. Hopefully it's better implemented than that's kind of been done in the past and other games that do similar mechanics like that. Like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 had, it was all about the Marvel Civil War, basically, right. Like the Captain America side versus Iron Man's side. And you could pick anti-registration or pro-registration, but the levels were all the same. Regardless of which side you picked, it was just different bosses.
And I don't think they could do that with this, because I think there are going to be two, if they do two storylines, they have to be absolutely distinct and separate from each other, because the whole point of Locke is that he's hunting the Chief down. The Chief is not hunting Locke down. He's looking for a way to resurrect Cortana, presumably. Mm-hmm. So they have completely different goals. They can't do a storyline where they're both doing the same mission, unless, you know, that's like halfway through the campaign. They link up, they try to kill each other, they say, oh, this was a mistake, and then they end up teaming up. But then,
they
fine,
fist,
whatever.
Make yeah, amends. Right? And
they hug it out.
Yeah, have a beer.
Right.
All right, moving on really quickly to Sony. What's going on PlayStation world?
Really only have one, I guess you could count it, two big news items here, and that's that Silent Hills is officially canceled. The other big piece of news there is that Silent Hills had a playable trailer. That's what PT stands for. And a lot of people just fell in love with this PT.
Mm-hmm.
And now it got pulled from the store, from the PlayStation store, and for a while there it was believed that, oh, well, they pulled it, you can't download it anymore, but at least if you delete it, you can at least re-download it. Well, then PlayStation actually pushed a message out that said, hey, if you delete it, you can't re-download it. It's gone.
It's not in the store anymore.
So now some people are actually being like entrepreneurial and selling their PlayStation 4s with PT on it to be like, hey, you, if you don't have it, this is the only way to get it. So, I mean, you can make money off of it. You know, if you've got it on your box and you want to, you don't really care to get rid of it, then sell it. You know, you could probably turn a profit.
Yeah, just like all those people who sold Nintendo Wiis with the virtual console games on them, even though that's, you know, you're not supposed to do it that way.
But I wiped mine. Still did. For the record, I wiped mine before I sold it, and I lost like $90 of virtual console games.
If the NSA is listening to this, we're clean. All right, and we actually had a lot of news outside of the big three consoles, and you had a lot of stuff about individual games and actual, you know, the developers and stuff like that. So I'm just going to let you go ahead and hit a couple of these.
Yeah, and I'll kind of run through most of this kind of fast. EA announced new Mirror's Edge and Plants vs. Zombies coming out next year.
Yeah.
Cool for people that are fans of those. Black Ops 3 was announced. That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
That was not expected, actually. Like, everyone was expecting...
Because we called it in the last episode.
Yes, everyone was expecting World War II. And turns out it's actually Black Ops 3. And it looks like they're going down kind of a similar path of Advanced Warfare, where they're going, you know, further into the future using some future tech stuff. That comes out November 6th. It will have dedicated servers for multiplayer. The other big thing that we know so far is that it'll have a field of view slider, which allows you, like, your camera, how wide your field of view is. It's really hard to explain without a visual.
Well, if you're a camera person or a video person, you probably know what that means.
Right.
Yeah.
You can do it in some other games too, but it'll distort edges if you do it too far, too wide or too narrow. But it's an interesting option to give people, because the wider you make it, obviously the more you can see at once. So moving on from that, we also have the studios that were originally behind the original X-Wing game and the original MechWarrior game.
Digging way back.
Yeah, this is like straight 90s stuff.
CD-ROM.
When that was new.
Mm-hmm.
Formed a new studio called Impeller. Not really sure what they're making yet, but they also did some work on Crysis and Homefront. So if you're familiar with those games, you know, they
are
born of that.
if you're one of the astronauts working for NASA and you were able to play Crysis on maximum settings when it came out, congratulations.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to whatever they come up with, because I'm a huge, huge fan of MechWarrior, obviously, and X-Wing was a great game as well. And Homefront got recently remastered, too, which looks really good. I'm actually thinking about picking that remaster collection up, because it includes Homefront 1 and 2. Other big news, kind of big news, I don't know, Myst, which was like a Windows 95 game.
Yeah.
Like, this was like a puzzle... very puzzle. It was about like books that create alternate worlds. You jump through the books.
Yeah, hopefully some of you remember it. It was actually a really cool game. It had decent graphics for its time because it wasn't like, you know, it was only one screen at a time, yeah, which you could see.
Point and click.
But, and that was kind of like the beginning of a kind of a little subgenre in that, because we had things like there was a game Lighthouse that my family really liked that was a point and click. Just like that, you know, we have to solve a bunch of mysteries, and Shivers was like that, and of course there were a couple sequels to Myst, like mm-hmm. Riven was the first one, and I think they made like four or five of them.
They've made at least three that I can recall, and Myst actually got remastered into a fully 3D world recently.
Mm.
Actually, I think Marty O'Donnell, who did the Halo soundtrack, did Riven's soundtrack too, I think.
Oh, really?
I think. I'd have to double check.
I know Peter Gabriel did music for one of them.
I know he was involved. But yeah, so Myst, which is this like classic puzzle game, is getting a TV show that's going straight to Hulu. It's kind of weird, but apparently there's a lot of lore in those games that a lot of people just ignored. So they're going to touch on that and...
Yeah, well, like, it has to be more expansive than the gameplay, because that would be a very, like, as much as I like that kind of game, if you can really get into it, that's boring to watch.
Oh, yeah. But if you like, did pay attention in, like, the intro scenes and stuff, and I only played the first one, to be fair, but, like, it talks about how, oh, he, you know, made these books or found these books, and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure they'll get into... how that all works out.
All I know is, give your pages to the green guy, not to the red or the blue guys. They're both evil.
Actually, you want the white page.
Is it white page?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was green for some reason.
Nope, it's the white page. And if you go to Dunny, which is the place where Atrus, the guy who is the father.
Mm-hmm.
if you go to Dunny without the white page, you can't come back. You're stuck there forever.
Games are so unforgiving back then.
It's so hard to get there, though, on accident, though. You yeah. really have to know what you're doing. But yeah, in other news, let's see, we've got... this is kind of crazy. ESPN2 showed coverage, live coverage, of League of Legends between two universities for, like, a couple hours, and, like, the Twitter sphere just exploded. Like, some people were like, why are they covering this? And then, like, 5 minutes later, they'd be like, I can't stop watching.
Yeah, it's like Twitch, but ESPN, and it's all
right.
done it's, proper.
It's actually, like, national coverage of esports.
Yeah, and...
for the first time.
In the movie Dodgeball, they made fun of, you know, Dodgeball. You can watch it on ESPN8, the Ocho.
Right.
But, I mean, maybe there is at least some kind of limited market for watching people play games, maybe.
Oh, there absolutely is. Twitch has proved that.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, definitely. But on network, but not network television, but cable television.
Yes, yes. And yeah. I think there probably is. Like, as the issue I see is that there's so many games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in sports, you have, football, hockey, basketball, baseball, soccer. Like, you've got a very limited set of, like, major pro sports. But then you've also got, like, curling and, you know, the Kentucky Derby and NASCAR. And you've got, like, all these other ones
mm-hmm.
That people are still huge fans of that do get coverage. So I think it's going to be... we're eventually going to see the same thing in the games... market. It's going to be like, what are the major PvP games, like League of Legends, which is the biggest yeah. game in the world. That's probably going to be number one. Yeah. You know, Call of Duty's right up there.
I was just going to mention that. Like, what would be our, like, top couple of them, but yeah. Call of Duty has to be up there.
Oh yeah, they've Halo. Already hit. Yep. Even Melee, or even the new Smash, because the new Smash, there is an argument for it dethroning Melee
as the competition standard.
Yeah, it'll probably take a while to get there, but it has that potential anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if the fringe games kind of fall away and you only focus on, you know, what the really big names are, I can see that getting coverage, yeah, and having like national interest eventually. Not tomorrow, but eventually.
Yeah. It's an interesting shift too. Because yeah, what we just talk about it being on Hulu. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Myst is going on to Hulu Plus.
Right.
But the video game without getting their own show, just playing the video game, makes it onto cable television. Mm-hmm. So interesting shifts going on.
And then another huge piece of news is Playtonic, who is comprised of like former Rare, like the glory days of Rare, employees, and like Grant Kirkhope, who did the soundtracks for Banjo-Kazooie and 007, and I think also Perfect Dark, and like all those classic Rare games, Donkey Kong Country. They finally showed off what their spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie is, and it's called Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah, it's a lizard and a bat. It's basically, from what they have shown, the little bit of video footage that they've shown, it's basically just like Banjo-Kazooie, only scaly.
Yeah. It's a chameleon. A bat. And like the only thing, it looks very similar, in a good way, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But they also haven't announced, I think Yooka is the chameleon.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be female this time. Like, I think your main character is female there, and then Laylee is the bat, and that's, my guess is that that's male. So they're reversing the genders there. But yeah, it looks really good for what they've done in like 3 months. They kickstarted it, I think it was like last week. They met their initial funding goal in 40 minutes and all their stretch goals within 24 hours. Like, it's, people are excited about this.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. I've wanted a legitimate other Banjo-Kazooie sequel after Banjo-Tooie for a long time. You know, Nuts and Bolts was kind of like its own thing. But yeah, this one looks pretty much just like that. The only difference is that the chameleon has like a ranged tongue, mm-hmm. which Banjo never had.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, you can see a lot of potential in an idea like that.
Yeah, and 3D platforming kind of died after the 64. I mean, you had Galaxy, but that's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with like Mario 64 and the old Crash Bandicoot and Banjo-Kazooie for sure, like that whole genre kind of ceased to exist.
So, yeah.
But now it looks like it might be on the upswing again, and definitely Yooka-Laylee will be helping. And it's funny because, you know, it's Yooka-Laylee, it's spelled Y-O-O-K-A, and then Laylee, L-A-Y-L-E-E. But when it was still codenamed, it was codenamed Yooka-Laylee, like the instrument. So, like, no one was expecting it to actually be called Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah, and that kind of, you know, also fits the spiritual successor thing, is they're all named after instruments. Banjo, Kazooie. Right. I think Tootie, the one you're supposed to save.
Yep.
She was originally called Piccolo.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's something they like.
Oh, maybe it's Yooka-Laylee. Piccolo she's playing with.
It probably is, yeah.
What about Mumbo, man? Mumbo Jumbo.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. But that brings us to the last thing that we want to cover in the news was Star Wars Battlefront. It was shown at Star Wars Celebration right before, well, the weekend before May the 4th. Which is, you know, the big Star Wars holiday, so to speak. And they showed, what they did show was really cool. But what is actually less cool is all the stuff that isn't there.
Yeah, I'm going to let you handle this one.
The thing is, I think not a lot of people would have as much of a problem with it if it wasn't called Battlefront. Because this is, even though it's not called Battlefront 3, it is theoretically a sequel to Battlefront 1 and 2. Battlefront 2 came out just about 10 years ago this month. And let's look at the numbers here. It had 33 total maps compared to Battlefront from EA coming out. And when it launches, there's 8 on the disc, 4 planets. And then there's a download pack for the Battle of Jakku, which is a lead into Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Yep. So it's 20 on 20 battles, whereas in Battlefront 2, 10 years ago again, it was 32 versus 32 in all modes. The Battlefront in EA is only 20 on 20 maximum. It's less than that on some modes.
Personally, I don't have an issue with that because I think the one thing that Titanfall proved, well, not the one thing, I mean, they proved a lot, but
yeah,
one of the biggest things they proved is that numbers in multiplayer don't matter. Battlefield prides itself on its, you know, huge battles. I think that they do like, it's like 32 or 64 per team. Titanfall did 6 per team. And you know what? It was fantastic. it's all a matter of scale. So like if they've play tested it to the point where they've determined that 20 per team is like kind of their sweet spot, I'm fine with that. But if it feels empty, then, you know, there'll be a problem.
And if the maps are as expansive as I kind of hope they are, I think it will kind of feel empty, because that was always the thing, at least originally what I understood to be the main point of the game, was to play the battles from the films. And I don't really think we're getting that scale if it's only 20 on 20 maximum, and again, less than that in some modes. And on top of that, you know, when you hear them speak about the game, I'm not really sure, like, the essence of Star Wars is really captured in there, because they said that the land battles were the biggest part of Star Wars, and the space battles were kind of, I don't know, ancillary to some degree. And there are no space battles in this game.
Yeah, that is disappointing to me.
Yeah, that is disappointing. And to be fair, I don't think that was implemented very well in Battlefront 2. Like, you basically, whatever side you were on, it was super easy to get in the other ship, like, just bombard them on foot. But basically, every faction had, you know, a middle-of-the-road fighter like an X-Wing, an interceptor, and a bomber. Mm-hmm. And they were all just kind of variations of those. And, you know, it was a point system. We've talked about that before, how maybe that could be implemented better. But it is still kind of disappointing that they said, well, scrap it instead of make it awesome.
Right.
Because when they say that the essence of Star Wars is in the land battles, and they're, well, we'll get to that in a second too, but they're restricting themselves to Episodes 4, 5, and 6 in content. So that means there's only 1.5 battles in Star Wars that count.
Right. You got Hoth Hoth, half of Endor.
Yeah. And the Forest Battle of Endor. So there's no Death Star stuff. Not that there was Death Stars in the other stuff, but there was still the space battle part of it. So that is a little disappointing as well. And there is no single-player campaign. I believe they have confirmed that there is no single-player campaign. There's no Galactic Conquest mode, which was a lot of fun in the other one, I thought. I think there is some form of instant action. The infantry type?
Yes, I believe they said there is.
Yeah, even if it's not called that, I think there is some function
there,
of it.
There is single-player missions that you can do with bots or like co-op stuff. I remember seeing something about that, but I don't know if that necessarily qualifies as an actual campaign.
Right, because Battlefront 2 actually had a pretty good one, I thought, for what kind of game it was. Rise of the Empire mode was really cool. Infantry types, the Battlefront 2 had 51 playable infantry types, and this new one is loadouts only. There are 2 confirmed heroes. I'm sure there will be more.
Probably, there will definitely be more, they've said so.
With The Force Awakens coming out and stuff like that. Another big thing was the vehicle types. So in the old ones, there were 37, well, in Battlefront 2, there were 37 controllable vehicles and then 15 controllable turrets. And in the new one, the only confirmed, there's a couple confirmed vehicles,
but yeah, they just made like TIE fighters for sure, snow speeders. Yeah.
But they made it sound like it was a big announcement earlier in the week, like, oh wow, you can play as AT-STs.
AT-STs,
like,
yeah. I was just gonna say.
Okay, welcome to a long time ago. And you can't play as the AT-ATs. They're not playable. They're just omelets.
Yeah, and in that trailer, I got a very, like, it looked really good, and it was in engine footage, which is not in-game footage. There's a very clear distinction that needs to be made there. But the in-engine footage, they show the AT-AT, and it's walking through Endor, and then, you know, the Rebels call in the bombers, and the Y-Wings come in and drop some explosive happiness on it.
Mm-hmm.
Very Call of Duty vibe for me, and not in a good way. Like, I don't have a lot of the same issues that the vocal people, anyway, reacting to the Battlefront reveal have. Like, most of what I've seen seems just fine to me. I don't have a problem with it being limited in the amount of, you know, loadouts or vehicles or anything. Because, like I said, if that's balanced correctly, then I think that's okay. And that's something else Titanfall did really well. Even though a lot of people did complain, oh, we need more guns, we need more mechs, we need more whatever. My question to them was why? Because, like, it was so well balanced already.
Yeah.
But the thing about that reveal, when they showed the AT-AT and then the Rebels calling the bombers, I was like, no, that's not what I want. I want to be able to get in the Y-Wing and bomb it myself. Yep. Like, that's kind of the whole idea here, right? But at the same time, I don't want it to be Battlefield Star Wars Edition.
And a lot of people have said that that's what they feel it is.
Yeah.
And they kind of went jetpack crazy as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, there's still a lot we don't know. But what we do know is that in terms of actual content, I mean, we don't know how expansive the maps are. We could use some game footage. Hopefully that's something that gets shown at E3. But it seems just what we know is going to be in the game. It seems really lacking, even compared to a game that came out 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But again, you know, it's all higher fidelity now.
Yeah, but so then we're back into the question of, like, how pretty can it be before, you know.
Exactly.
And how big can a map be before you're just kind of walking around instead of...
And are you spending half the match, you know, finding the action versus participating in it? That was an issue for me with, I think it was Battlefield 4. I played the beta, and I felt like half the time I was, like, running to the fight rather than actually playing the game.
Yeah, and when we're talking about the maps, they made it sound like a big deal, like, oh, don't worry, there's two maps every planet. Like, okay, now we're caught up to Battlefield 1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even that had more maps than this. I mean, we're only talking about 10 maps confirmed right now. I mean, there will be more. There's 5 planned DLC packs. But,
and it's EA. I mean, that's kind of expected. All I want is, like, if I can have a dogfight only mode, like, just reminiscent of Rogue Squadron, but multiplayer, bring it on.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
And of course, we mentioned it was classic trilogy only, with the exception of a Jakku map, but I believe that is still, like, it's not the First Order versus the Resistance, like, characters and stuff like that. It's still Empire, Rebel, possibly. I don't know. I'm sure that leads into the Force Awakens
somehow. Something that did bother me, because they, you know, one of the planets that they have is Sullust.
Yes.
Which is mentioned in Jedi. And,
once.
Yeah. But they're like, oh, this is a planet we've never been to before, and, you know, we don't know what it looks like, and it's like, excuse me, but I've played Rogue Squadron, and I took a Y-Wing into a volcano on Sullust to bomb some stuff. So, yes, I have been there before.
Yeah, but now this is the first canon, because they've wiped everything.
Yeah.
Except for the movies and Clone Wars and Rebels shows. So this is our first canon. And they even talked about, like, the canonicity of the game. And, of course, like, it's going to be limited. You're playing it.
Right.
You decide what happens. But I think when they talked about something like that, it meant, like, okay, maybe this is how Sullust has to look in any other appearances that it makes. But, yeah, It is kind of disappointing to me that, you know, they have a planet that was just mentioned instead of so many that they had to choose from. And it did seem pretty limited in scope. And I understand that Battlefront 2 came out right before Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, did. So it was kind of heavy on maps from that movie. But still, it seems like we're getting way less than half the content. And it's... I don't know. It seems a little shy of what we wanted. And I don't just say that as... in comparison to Battlefront 2 even, but we've seen a couple different pieces of footage from when this game was in the hands of other developers. And basically all of the stuff that everybody wanted was in there every time.
Yeah.
And they even said, like, at one point the game was like 99% complete, and then bam, they go under.
Well, and we knew when whoever was working on Battlefront 3, I can't remember, but when they folded up shop, we knew that tech to go from ground to space seamlessly died with that studio.
Yeah.
The hope was that it would be resurrected somehow or recreated by whoever picked it up, but that was always only a hope. And it is too bad that it didn't, but that is what it is. It's still tough to swallow for sure, but you know, it's not entirely unexpected.
Yeah, so it went from being one of my games that I was really excited about coming out this year to, I really do feel like it was neutered in some sense.
Hopefully, you know, hopefully they release a demo and then we can try it. And you know, if it's good, make the purchase. And if it's not, I mean, that's what demos should be for, in my opinion. So I love having demos.
Yeah, and you know, you would hope that, you know, some of the stuff that you want and may be missing from the game. Like, there's a lot of people that will boycott the game. There was even a petition out there, which, you know, is kind of funny to look at. It got hit pretty hard by the guys at IGN, but, I mean, there's a legitimate claim there for all the content that it's missing. But, I mean, boycotting the game, if they can't sell it just on the classic trilogy on those four basic maps, then they're not going to do anything else.
Yeah, you're not going to convince them to make another one if it's not successful.
Yeah, or even do a DLC pack of the stuff you do want. But, I mean, I still have to see if I like the way that they're handling it now.
Mm-hmm.
Before I even want to do that. So it is kind of disappointing. It'll probably be a rental for me, at least for a while. And hopefully they keep adding on and what's there is good. So, on that note, we will move to the Pit Crew Picks. All right, this month, the month of May, is Mother's Day. We have Mother's Day coming up this weekend. And in honor of all the female video game characters, we decided to pick a few. We picked five of our favorites, but these, we were very careful in how we picked them. We didn't just pick, you know, damsel in distress. We tried to pick strong female protagonists. So, in the number five slot, who do we got?
Number five, we decided to give to Jill Valentine from Resident Evil.
Good pick.
Yeah, pretty good character. Been in a bunch of games now.
Yeah,
You have to fight her in Resident Evil 5, actually. She's kind of a villain, but then you turn her good and it's all good.
Yeah. Well, she's probably the most well-liked character in the series, and that includes the movies.
Yeah, well, let's not.
Yeah, a lot of people like the movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, number four is someone you really like. Your phone might actually even answer to this name.
Right. Four, it's kind of a stretch because it's... Well, it's Cortana, but, you know, does she count? She's a robot. She's an AI construct.
Is Ultron a man?
There could be an argument. That's all I'm saying. But she's still got the number four slot. Very strong character. Probably going to see her again in the future. I would put money on it, but for now, she's dead. Sorry.
All right. Number three is someone who broke down the walls of gender discrimination.
Yeah, this was big news.
Like 100 years ago.
Almost. We've got Ms. Pac-Man in the number three slot.
All right. A lot of people consider that game to be superior to the regular Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's considered one of the greatest arcade games of all time.
Yeah, people are still pretty competitive on high scores.
There's some key differences between regular Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. Ms. Pac-Man had more variety in the gameplay, and you couldn't predict the ghost behavior. So,
yeah, was it still Enki Benki and
I think so
Clyde and yeah,
it just like in original Pac-Man, each one had its own like movement pattern.
Yeah, one follows you.
One follows you. One actively avoids you. One moves randomly, and the other one, I don't remember what he did, but yeah, they each had individual behavior.
In the number two spot is someone who's actually got a couple movies to her credit as well as a lot of really successful games.
Yeah, number two, we have Lara Croft, who actually the most recent game, Tomb Raider, I think it's just called.
Yeah.
kind of a reboot of the franchise, is actually really good.
That's good.
I haven't made it through the entire game yet, but I have started it, and it's a lot of fun. And they actually didn't go. It's almost surprising how like non-sexualized she is as a character in that game.
Yeah, because for the longest time she was only known for two reasons.
Right.
And they were both stuffed in her shirt.
Yeah, but they've turned that around, in a good way. To now, she's a much more relatable character, and that game is really good. And it's like it's kind of her origin story. There's a new Tomb Raider coming out soonish that is kind of like a sequel to that reboot.
Yeah, very cool. And also worth noting, that old nude code, it's not real. Stop trying. But that brings us to pole position. What is the number one greatest female character in all of video game history?
Well, this was not a hard decision for us.
No, we both agreed.
This particular character has been the lead role in several games.
Yes.
From as far back as the NES.
80s. 86.
Yep. To present day. And she is a very interesting occupation. Same as, say, Boba Fett.
Almost similar visually, too.
Yeah.
With the T-visor.
Right?
Yeah.
Except this is Samus Aran.
Yes. And it was really easy for us to pick this one because, like we said, we didn't want to pick, you know, some princess that needs to be saved and can't fight her own battles or something like this. Samus, it didn't matter if she was a man or a woman. And yeah, that was the surprise of the first game.
Right, you didn't even know for most of the game.
The instruction manual said he whenever it referred to Samus, because it was supposed to be a big surprise. Like,
right,
hey, this can be a girl, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
Totally so, was.
And there's been so many good Metroid games since then. The Prime series, that relaunched that whole franchise in such a unique way, turning an adventure game into a first-person shooter that worked so well.
The Metroid Prime is a perfect example of a game making the leap from 2D to 3D and doing it, like, nailing it 100%.
Yeah, it's the anti-Sonic.
Yeah, I'm sad now.
Yeah, but the good news is Metroid is awesome. Samus is a great character, especially when she's not talking a lot.
Yeah, she was a much better character as a silent protagonist. Much the same way Link is.
Yeah.
And it's not to take any, like, I'm not saying that, oh, we can't have Samus talk, but, like, the lines that they've given her recently kind of destroy elements of her character that, you know.
Yeah, you kind of see her in a different light.
Yeah.
She's very more dependent than we originally imagined her, mm-hmm. I think. And
it weakens the character. Like, in all honesty, it weakens the character.
Yeah, so, but not enough to knock her down to number two.
No, she's still number one. She's still awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our picks for the best female characters to celebrate Mother's Day. Hopefully you don't forget Mother's Day and you're able to get her something very nice. But that was our picks. If you have any discrepancies, be sure to let us know. Tell us how wrong we are. We'll give you all the contact info at the end of the episode. But without further ado, we are going to move on to Shop Talk. All right, Shop Talk. This is where we have discussions about industry trends or behind-the-scenes info or basically whatever we want, but it's usually one of those. So the first topic of discussion is something came up recently on the subject of paid mods.
Yeah,
so
tell us about that. This is kind of hot, hotly debated anyway. Steam announced that they were going to allow paid mods on their shop, and that lasted all of 3 days before they completely 100% backpedaled because there was so much backlash at that decision. People were so against paid mods, and they spoke up and they made noise, and Steam backed off. That was surprising to me.
So was this like a Twitter mob thing?
Yes. I mean, it was everywhere. It was everywhere over social media. And like, I'm not sure where I land on that because like, yes, I understand you already paid for the game. And you don't want to have to buy mod content. And, you know, yes, it is derivative work. You know, it's using assets for the most part that other people have made, and it's just making the game behave differently in a lot of cases. Fine. But I don't know. Like, they're still putting their own work into it. You know, it's not something that shipped with the game. They're still putting time and effort into it. And
in some cases, a ridiculous amount.
Yeah. Total conversion mods are insane with the amount of work that has to go into them. Yeah. And like, so if they're asking for a few bucks to, you know, back that effort up, I think that's okay. But like, on the other hand, do you want people that make a living using just making mods for stuff that other people have published? You know, that could be actually harmful to the industry. So I can see arguments on both sides. And like I said, I'm not sure. I'd have to really get more in depth to the conversations, but like, I understand where both sides are coming from.
Well, do you feel like if somebody modded a game, are they essentially just standing on the shoulders of the people who made it?
They are, but that doesn't mean that they don't deserve to be compensated for their work.
Right.
But at the same time, the people that, like, it has to be good enough that people will buy it. So like, you know, I mean, it's kind of like the, you know, the market will work itself out. Like, if you make a mod that is awesome, but you charge for it and people don't want to pay for it, it'll fail.
Right.
So, you know, if people don't buy it, then fine. Either nobody gets to enjoy your work, or you lower the price or make it free. You know, it's...
maybe that's the nature of mods.
Exactly. And I think that's almost what happened with Steam. It was like, they're like, hey, you know, we're going to let people charge for mods. And then everyone's like, no, we're not going to buy them. And they're like, okay, never mind.
Let's backpedal a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was very hot in industry news for like all that whole 3 day period. And like, it was crazy. And it's still kind of an ongoing debate as to like, how much should they be allowed to get away with charging for? And like, can you take someone's work from a free mod and put it into a paid mod? You know, like, there's a lot of little intricate, I don't know the word, idiosyncrasies that, you know, they kind of have to work out.
The
minutiae. Yeah, the minutiae. That's a much better word. That I think needs to be worked out before they can really move forward with a paid mod plan. But I don't see it as going away forever. I think it'll be back.
And I just want to say I'm glad that it happened, even though it only happened for 3 days, because I think it was worth finding out what the reaction would be. Mm-hmm. And it opens up the discussion to whether, you know, that's legitimate or not.
And sometimes that has to happen. I mean, look at Microsoft's Xbox One like reveal when they made all these announcements that everybody kind of didn't like.
Yeah.
And they had to completely reverse course. But it's like, at the same time, a lot of that stuff's still making it in slowly, and like people are okay with it. They just did too much different at once.
Yeah.
And like people just short-circuited, like, that can't work. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and I think the same thing is going to happen here with the paid mods. Like, they were like, oh yeah, let's do paid mods. And then everybody freaked out and they're like, okay, let's like slowly introduce paid mods.
Yeah.
Is probably what's going to end up happening.
Yeah. Foot in the door rather than door in the face.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you look at it like a DLC model, it's almost the exact same thing.
Yeah, exact. And that's kind of where I stand on it as well. So. But yeah, I'm glad it happened just so that the dialogue could be open for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So something else going on that I'm going to ask you about is what's up with VR gloves?
Yeah, this is neat. Like, you know, there's a lot of VR tech coming out. And actually, Oculus just announced that their first consumer model will be available next year. So that's awesome. But there's this other company that they're making these wireless gloves. The company is called Virtuix. They're making these VR gloves that, you know, will interface with the VR headsets, but they give you haptic feedback on your hands so you can actually touch in VR. And they don't go into detail too much as to how they work, but there are little like air bladders in the fingers that will inflate. So like when you go to grab something, it inflates and it gives you resistance there. Wow. So it might not actually, it may or may not, I should say, prevent you from like making a fist when it's inflated. Cause if they inflate it enough, obviously they would be able to stop you. So that's really cool that they're actually bringing that kind of feedback in. But the thing is, if it's only a glove, like you might be able to grab something, but it's not going to be able to stop you from like grabbing it and then like thrusting your arm down.
Right.
So like, yeah, you know, there's still going to be limitations, but I would imagine that there is going to be a more, even more immersive solution there. It's going to get crazy. People, we're going to get lost in virtual reality.
I mean, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be really cool.
I mean, they can only put so many limits on it until we're all in Iron Man suit.
Right.
So
surrogates.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was one other thing I wanted to hit here real quick, and I saw this article on Gamma Sutra, which is a game dev website.
It's a great site.
It's absolutely wonderful. They've got tons of development stuff for everybody, whether you're like AAA or indie, just starting out, or you've got a few games under your belt. Great site. But they posted something the other day talking about Mario Kart 8 and how it's never explained to the player what the coins actually are used for.
Right.
And personally, like, I'm like, yeah, they totally never do. Like, that's something that bothered me when I got the game. I'm like, why am I collecting coins? Like, what is the point? Like, you learn pretty quickly that, like, it unlocks certain things. Like, it unlocks more kart gear and, like, wheels and stuff. But, like, outside of that, it's like, why do I care?
I was kind of hoping it did nothing and it just plays on the obsessivity of the players.
That was exactly the point of the article, was like, you don't need to know because it gives you something to collect and it kind of guides you. They're positioned on the track in a way that it guides you around like the correct angles to take around a curve and like blah, 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 stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, I see the point that they're making, but I still don't think that means it's okay game design. Like,
yeah,
you need to tell people, like, yeah, you collect this to unlock stuff, fine. But, like, there's also, it increases your top speed. Like, if you have, every coin you collect increases your top speed for the match. So, like, if you have 10 coins, which is the most you can collect at once, that's the fastest you can go. And when you get hit, it takes away 3 coins, so you actually lose top speed.
See, like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and every time you pick up a coin, it also gives you a little speed boost. So like even if you have 10, if you hit more, it'll like give you a tiny speed boost.
Like a mini mushroom.
Almost, yeah. So like there are those things that like, that's, you want to know that. And it never tells you that. And even for the longest time before they patched the game, you didn't even know how many coins you had. So, I mean, yes, we're in the internet age. You can look up this stuff, and ultimately that's what I did. Actually, I think a buddy of mine told me what those coins were doing, so I'm assuming he looked it up.
Should you have to?
No, you should not have to. Like, it should at least be in there somewhere. Where it's like, because, I mean, all right, Mario Kart, most people are familiar with, and, you know, most of the items you can figure out just by using them. It's like, oh, if I drop a banana, it goes like this, or, right. But like, did you know you can throw it forwards? Because some stuff you can throw forwards, and some you can't. You can drag Bob-ombs behind you for some reason. It's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
but you can do it, and, like, it's weird, some of the stuff, but like that particular article, I was just like, well, because they're making the argument that, like, well, you don't need to know what they do because it's a collectability thing, and like it gives you guidance, and I'm like, yes, it does do all that, and yes, it does serve that purpose, but it frustrated me when I first started out that I'm like, why are these in the game? What are they good for?
There needs to be a reason.
And it's a little deceptive because the coin item itself, when you get it out of an item block, it shows you holding one coin, but it gives you two.
Mm.
And like, but it also makes it also ranks up all the other items in the game because now the coin is the least desirable item.
Yep.
Whereas previously it was actually the banana, but now it's the coin. Like if you get a banana, you're like, thank God, at least it's not a coin. So, I mean, that is valid, but I still think that when it comes to items like that, you need to know what they do. It's very frustrating to not have any idea, like, why things happen in games. Like, if it feels like random chance, it will frustrate your players.
Yeah. And what if they never said what it did?
I mean, people would figure it out. Just, but like, yeah, if this was still like the offline world.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're playing Super Mario Kart and you're collecting coins, because they were in that game, too. It's like, why? What are these for?
To pick up the coins. That's what it's for.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd have to call 1-800-NINTENDO-POWER right. Or whatever
call the hotline
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... So, I mean, I agree with them, that article, on certain points, but I also disagree that, like, you know... They have to tell you what they do.
Think about it. That's a mechanic that somebody worked into the game that they were keeping secret.
Yeah, and like emergent behavior in games is okay, like, but that's not what we're talking about here. Like, if you discover a new technique in Smash Brothers, like they did in Melee with wave dashing and stuff, it's like, yes, it was built into the game. Maybe it was on purpose, but like, that's more emergent gameplay, and it's not like something you win in where like someone used it against you and you're like, oh, what the heck was that? It became a thing. It didn't like start out as like, oh, everybody can do this, and you know, we just don't know why.
Yeah.
So it's different. I don't know. It just bothers me. I'm done.
That'd be like having an item in Smash Brothers and you just have no idea what it does.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you'd find out, like, oh, it makes you trip every 1,050th step.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, on that note, we are going to go to the final lap. All right, so we're in the final lap. We're in the home stretch here. There's just a couple things we want to recap. So, what can we pull from the news?
I think more DLC from Nintendo's good. It's unfortunate about the cancellations at Sony. Yooka-Laylee looks cool. Battlefront's a hot topic.
Well, also, there are, you know, in the rumor mill, they're saying, because a lot of Star Wars games got delayed while we're on the topic of Battlefront, but that 1313 game, there's still rumors that might come back from the grave. Hmm. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Don't Duke Nukem Forever it.
No.
That would be bad.
Yeah. So don't forget about Mother's Day. Wish your mother a happy Mother's Day. And then paid mods.
Yeah, paid mods. That's, like I said, that's going to be... I think that's going to be in and out for a while. But it'll settle itself out.
Yeah. So one special announcement that we have to make right now is about... our web presence. Like right now, you know us as podcast. Maybe you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, and if you don't, make sure you do. We'll give you that info in a second. But we've also got something else we want to let you know about.
Yeah, big announcement, guys. We have a website now that is kind of going to serve as our central hub for information. We can host the podcast on there. We'll also have kind of other articles, reviews, opinion pieces, reactions to news, stuff like that. Should be really easy to filter and access. So that is very easy to find. It is simply bluefalconpitcrew.com. So check it out. Give us, it's a WordPress site. So if you're on WordPress, you can follow and comment. All of our podcast episodes will have their own pages. You can comment directly on the episode if you want to give us feedback. But also in conjunction with our website, we've got some new email addresses set up. So if you want to just send us general feedback, feedback@bluefalconpitcrew.com is the address to use. If you want to send something specifically to me, you can use adam@bluefalconpitcrew.com. Or if you want to send something to Brad, brad@bluefalconpitcrew.com. Pretty straightforward. But if you still just want to give us a follow on Twitter, that's cool too, @bluefalconcrew. Or on Facebook, facebook.com/bluefalconcrew. We're also starting to stream selectively. We have the capability to start doing some Twitch streaming. So we are Blue Falcon Pit Crew on Twitch. So look us up. We'll have all the links and stuff in the description as usual.
Great. And you're going to want to keep that contact information on hand because you're going to need it to answer our question. Like I said, we end each episode with a unique question and we address it at the beginning of the next episode. So our question this month is, it's kind of about E3 because there's been a lot of great trailers and a lot of great debuts of stuff at E3. This isn't E3 specific, however, but what is the biggest disappointment? Like, what were you very, very excited for when you saw the trailer or played the demo or anything like that? And then when you bought the game or rented the game, it just didn't live up to the hype or what you wanted.
Yeah, which hype train were you on that crashed and burned?
Yeah.
I can think of a couple already.
Yeah, I'm sure there's several, and I'm sure the responses will be everywhere on that one. And we have some in mind, but we're going to keep them in our back pocket until the next episode, which is our very special June episode. Yeah. Which, of course, means it's E3 time.
E3, yeah. It's going to be big.
Yeah, so it's going to be likely a much longer than normal podcast. So
most likely.
So give us your responses at the email, Facebook, and Twitter, whatever way you want to follow us. And yeah, I think that's about it for episode 4 of the Blue Falcon Podcast. I wish a new hope to you all, and a happy Mother's Day to you all. I am Brett.
A late May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, and a late May the 4th be with you. Oh, man. All right, so that is all from us. We were the Blue Falcon Pit Crew. I'm Brad.
I'm Adam.
Take care.
See you next time.